All right. Well, I have a cold, and Caleb preached my sermon, so we can go home now. No, it was very interesting, though, listening to you share, Caleb. I don't encourage watching movies for various reasons, but I have watched the Social Dilemma documentary twice, actually, in the past month. And if you have to watch a movie, watch The Social Dilemma. But anyway, and so I said I watched it twice. I watched it once, like 99.9% of the American population watches movies and documentaries where they sit back on the couch and they watch it, and at the end they basically remember nothing of what they've watched. And then I watched it a second time by myself in focus mode with a pen and paper, and I took a lot of notes, and I intended to use them for today's sermon, but it wasn't coming together, and when I sat down and studied yesterday, it kind of went down a different route than I anticipated. I've been thinking a lot about time recently, and here we are at the end of 2025, and poof, just like that, it's gone. Like, where did it go and what happened? It seems like it was just not long ago that we were at Christmas last year, and now here we are done and past with 2025, and 2026 is just around the corner. And so it's interesting. 2025 marked the 500-year anniversary of the Anabaptist movement. We talked about that at the beginning of the year when we went through that Sunday school book. And 2026 marks the semi-quincentennial anniversary of the United States of America, 250 years on July 4, 2026. United States who have been around for 250 years as a nation. And so time moves on and things happen. And it feels like time's been like really busy. And I've been wondering what's consuming my time and how am I spending it and am I using it well? And I had an interesting thought. We all have the same amount of time. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year. We all have the same amount of time. Yet, why does it seem like some people get more done than others? If you look around, you're like, this guy's getting a lot of things accomplished, and this person's not getting a lot accomplished. Like, what's happening? We all have the same amount of time. How are we using that time? And so I've been thinking a lot about time, and I've also been thinking a lot about technology in the last year and how technology is affecting me as a person, how technology is affecting my brain in the long run, and how technology is affecting us as a church. And I preached a message back in July on artificial intelligence and some of the long-term effects that it might have on the church. And I had 3 points then that I brought out. One of them was mental deterioration. We're beginning to lose the ability to think critically and remember long-term. The other point I brought out was misinformation. Artificial intelligence and technology is bringing a lot of false information, fake news, and is bringing on the real potential for us to be misled. And then a third thing that I mentioned was the loss of human connection, where we're spending less and less time together as a community, and we're spending less and less time with real people interacting face to face. And there's a fourth component of technology that I think that we need to sit up and pay attention to, and I'd like to talk about it today, and that is that technology is demanding our time and attention. And It's asking for our attention, and it's distracting us from the most important things of life. I want to read a quote that Tristan Harris, who was a former Google employee, said. He said this, and I quote, "If something is a tool, it's genuinely just sitting there waiting patiently. If something is not a tool, it's demanding things from you. It's seducing you. It's manipulating you. It wants things from you." We've moved away from having a tools-based environment to an addiction and manipulation-based environment. Social media isn't a tool that's waiting to be used. It has its own goals. It has its own means of pursuing them by using your psychology against you. We've invented a lot of things in the history of the earth. And, you know, we have a lot of tools that we use to our advantage. And just think about something like the sewing machine. It's made our life a lot easier. It's allowed us to do things faster and more accurately than what we were able to do by hand. And that sewing machine is a tool. It's sitting there waiting patiently for you to use it. And then we have things like social media that they're not just sitting there patiently waiting for you to use them as a tool, but they're actually demanding your time and attention. Think about social media platforms and news platforms. For those of you who aren't on social media, your Fox News or your CNN app or whatever news app you use falls under the same category. Companies like Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Fox News, and all of them, their net worth is based on their subscriber count. And Caleb talked about this briefly this morning. But the more people that use the platform, the more valuable the platform becomes to advertisers and investors. So the very business model of these companies like Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, relies on them being able to get users and to keep them in the app. Think about this. None of us pay to use our news apps. We don't pay to use our social media apps. How do these companies make money? They have to make money, otherwise they wouldn't be around. All right? So if you're not paying for your Facebook account, if you're not paying for your news app, it's free to you. If you're not paying for the product, then you are the product of the company. So companies like Facebook, you are their product. And because you are the product, the companies need you to figure out how they can get as much of your attention as possible. Because, see, companies like Facebook and your news feeds, they make their money off of advertisements. And if you're not in the app, they can't serve you ads. And they can't serve, if they can't serve you ads, they can't make money. And they'll go out of business. And so while social media was not intentionally invented to consume as much of a user's time as possible, it's evolved into a platform that, for the platform to become and stay successful, it has to consume as much of your time as possible, because if it doesn't have your time and attention, then they're not making money, and therefore they're not going to be profitable. And so companies like Facebook and social media and your news platforms, they rely on advertisers for their funding so that they can stay profitable as a business. And the only way for them to be able to stay profitable is to get you in the app and keep you there as long as possible so they can serve you as many ads as possible so they can stay in business. And so I was thinking about that a little bit. Where am I spending my time then? You know, the smartphone, while, like, I don't intentionally, like, think of it as a distraction, and while I don't like to admit it, it probably takes more of my time than I wish that it would. And I think that, like Caleb was saying, we need to sit up and pay attention, because where are we using our time? Is it needlessly scrolling on social media or news feeds or something like that, when we should be spending time with other people, with our families, spending time in God's Word? I think if we don't sit up and pay attention, we'll be slowly and subtly drawn away from God. I was thinking about our forefathers 500 years ago, the start of the Anabaptist movement. They were being persecuted for their faith. They were being tortured and sent to the stake to try to get them to renounce their faith. And Satan used that, or tried to use that, as a way to destroy the church and true Christianity. And we're not faced with that today, the persecution, at least not us in America. But I think that Satan is taking a much more subtle approach to destroying the church today. He's not trying to get us to deny that God exists, or even deny that God is real, or that we should serve him. But I think he's filling our time with distractions and getting us away from God, away from the Bible, away from spending time walking in a relationship with God. And so I think that Satan's form of destroying the church today may be distraction, where he's getting us to focus on other things, non-important things, non-essential things, and getting us to not deny that God is real, but to just distract us from having a relationship with God. And so I think, as we think about time and the passage of time, how are we using our time? And what are we doing with our time? And I think today, more than ever, we need to be like Joshua, who, when he was talking to the Israelites, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua was asking the Israelites to make a decision. And so I think we should ask ourselves the same question. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be the God of Instagram influencers? Will it be the God of self on Snapchat and TikTok? Will it be the God of entertainment on YouTube and Netflix? Or the God of good deals on Facebook Marketplace? Or maybe the God of news on Fox News and CNN? Or will you, like Joshua, decide that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And so I'm asking us to sit up and think about, you know, where am I spending my time? What is consuming my life, my mind, and my time? Is it things that are unimportant? Or am I choosing intentionally to serve the Lord? And I'm not saying that these platforms are wrong. Not all of them are. But like Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so I'm thinking about that. Like, what is consuming my time? What is filling my brain space? Is it the things of God, or is it not? Am I serving? We would never say that, like, social media or the news or whatever is our God. But, you know, when you look at where you're spending your time, like, what is your God? How are we using our time? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know how much time we have. James 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You go outside on a cold morning and you just breathe out and you exhale and you see that puff of steam come out of your mouth and then it's gone, poof, just like that. Or you boil a kettle of water on the stove and you see the water vapor, the steam rise up out of the kettle and poof, it's gone. It's a vapor that disappears in an instant. And our lives are the same way. We don't have a lot of time. How are we using our time? Time moves quickly, just like 2025 came and went so rapidly, it feels like. We don't have a lot of time, and we're not promised another day, another minute, another hour. How are we using that time? Are we distracted by the unessential things of life? If we are distracted by the unessential things of life, we may lose the race. Now, I feel like I have a long way to go on this. I feel like I've lost a lot of ground in the last number of years, just as this thing feels like it consumes more and more of my time, as more and more apps are demanding my attention. So I'm not standing before you, you know, having figured it all out, but I think just recognizing that the God of distraction is very real, and if we're not careful, it will slowly cause us to drift away from Christ and may cause us our salvation if we're not intentional about not letting the unimportant things, the unessential things of life distract us from serving Christ. I would like to spend some time in the scriptures here this morning. So if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 13, I'd appreciate it. We're going to read some verses here. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul's saying, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Paul's telling us here that it's time to wake up and recognize that Christ's coming is getting closer and closer. He's not telling us to think about waking up sometime in the future and pay attention. He's telling us that now is the time. Now is the time for us to awake out of sleep. If we're distracted, sorry, wrong place in my notes here. And he said it's high time, which means it's urgent. All right? It's important that we pay attention. Now is the time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hebrews chapter 10, turn over a couple more verses there. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, that's not lining up. It was Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, not Hebrews. Wasn't making any sense. All right, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea here is talking to the Israelites who had turned away from following the Lord. They were distracted by the nations around them, the idolatry around them, and they weren't following after God. And Hosea is trying to call them back to Israel, or back to God, and he's pleading with them that it's time to seek the Lord. And he doesn't say now, but he's not telling them to push it off. He says, it's time to seek the Lord. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next year, not sometime in the future, but now is the time to seek the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Again, Paul's telling the Corinthians that now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next year, not sometime. Now is the day of salvation. And so in a world where social media, news feeds, and AI models are screaming for your attention, begging on you to click the latest notification or just to scroll one more time to see where what might be just around the corner, now is the time to discipline yourselves, to pick up your Bibles and read them, to study them, to talk about what you read with others. Now is the time. In a world filled with fake news and artificially generated content, now is the time to get out your Bibles and practice 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, we aren't guaranteed another day, another minute. So it's urgent. Today is the day of our salvation. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And this is interesting. I looked up the word redeeming. It has a couple of different definitions, but one of them has to do with like taking back, to regain possession of something. And I think that it's a good thought for us, redeeming the time. Do you need to take back possession of your time? Like, as your news feed, your social media, like, has it taken captive some of your time? If so, like, do you need to redeem it? Do you need to buy it back? Do you need to regain possession of it? It's time for us to take possession of our time. In a world where technology companies are competing for our time, trying to pull us into their systems for their own profit, we need to redeem the time. We all have the same amount of time, yet why do some people get more things done than others? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Paul's saying, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. All right, so he's telling us to walk circumspectly, which means to walk cautiously or carefully. I was thinking about that. Everything you do, everywhere you go, the way you spend your time, like, are you approaching it cautiously and carefully? Walk circumspectly. Paul is telling us to be careful, be on the lookout for things that may distract you or cause you to go the wrong way. All right? The devil is out to get us, and he may not be doing it through direct persecution, but he may be doing it through distraction and getting us to kind of not think about God and not spend time in his word and not spend time in prayer and walking in a relationship with God. So are we redeeming the time? Are we making the best use of it? And are we walking circumspectly, cautiously, carefully, considering how we spend our time? And I know I may have read this before here, but turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is giving his farewell address to the Israelites, and he had a very lengthy talk with them, and this is part of that talk that has always stood out to me, and I think it's interesting and relevant for us today to sit up and pay attention to. Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. He said, and this is Moses talking, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go out after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." This passage always stood out to me as Moses is telling the children of Israel to sit up and to pay attention. Living for Jesus or living a godly lifestyle isn't just a Sunday morning thing. It consumes all of our time. Verse 2 there in chapter 6, he's saying fear the Lord thy God, keep all his statutes and his commandments all the days of thy life. It's consuming all of our time. And then in verse 7, he said, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's again consuming all of our time. It's covering every aspect of our life, when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we're lying, when we're getting up. Moses is telling the Israelites here in verse 7 that he's supposed to teach the commandments of God to their children, and he's telling them that you do it all the time. It's throughout every day of your life and throughout every moment of your day. And I was thinking that, if we're scrolling Instagram or Pinterest, it's hard to be teaching our children the commandments of God. If we're deep into the latest politics on some news site, we can't teach our children. But it's something that consumes all of our time when we sit us, when we walk, when we lie, when we rise up. And then verse 10 through 12, Moses is telling the children of Israel to be aware of distractions that will cause us to forget God. He was saying, when you come into the land of Canaan, and when you have the houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant and all of that stuff, he said, beware in verse 12, beware lest thou forget the Lord. And I think that something that we need to sit up and pay attention to today. We live a relative life of ease. We have a lot of things that we didn't have to work terribly hard for. And we have a lot of leisure time. What are we doing with it? Are we using it wisely, or are we forgetting God? And so I think, just like Moses pled with the children of Israel to spend time remembering the commandments of God and thinking about them and teaching them to our children, and then beware that in their life of ease, that they don't forget God. And I would like to leave that with you today, that day by day, moment by moment, just like Moses pleaded with the Israelites to not forget God and to teach the commandments to their children, and just like Joshua pleaded with the same Israelites later to choose you this day whom you will serve, we need to choose who we will serve and whether we will remember God or not. So we've been blessed with another year, and we look forward to a new year. How will we spend our time? Will we let technology continue to demand our attention and distract us from seeking first the kingdom of God? Or will we make a conscious choice like Joshua and declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? God bless you.